Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you. I grew up in Atlanta. My mother's people were from Lynette, Alabama. It was right on the Georgia-Alabama line. Part of Lynette was on the Alabama side, and the Chattahoochee River divided from West Point. You may have heard of a company called West Point Pepperell. It's a textile company. But my mother had a first cousin. His name was Bill Brewer. Bill was born with a cleft palate. And apparently in the 1920s and 1930s, in those what some people might call the good old days, if you had a cleft palate, they didn't, in Alabama anyway, they didn't teach you how to read. They just sort of, your life got wasted. Your life got thrown away. I met Bill the first time when I was about 10 years old, and he was probably about 40. And he worked at a newspaper store, sold newspapers, could make change. I got to talking to him, and I began to realize that this guy was really sharp. Had trouble understanding him a little bit with that cleft palate, but he was really sharp. In the car back to Atlanta, I asked my mother about that. She said, that's just what we did in Alabama in the 1920s. She said, you're right. Bill Brewer's a sharp guy. And what we've done is just wasted that life. We wasted that life because we just looked out there and said, giving Bill a life, a good life, was just too impossible. It was just too hard. It was too challenging, too difficult. Looked out there and we just let the impossibilities define it rather than the possibilities. We said no to God's yes. This parable here is in the middle of a very long section. We're familiar with sort of the start of it. Young man comes up to Jesus and says, what do I need to do in order to find salvation? And Jesus gives him an answer pointing back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy about caring for your neighbor, about caring for your fellow human being, and loving God with all your heart. And the guy says, well, I've done all that. Check that one off. I've done it. And then Jesus tells him to go and sell everything he's got. And this guy steps back and says, well, that's impossible. And he sort of wanders off, disappointed with what Jesus has told him to do. Peter, who's never met an opportunity to put his foot in his mouth, then decides to have another dialogue with Jesus and says, you know, hey, Jesus, I've been along on this journey with you since the very beginning. We gave up everything that we had to be here with you. What's in it for me? Jesus basically tells him that the first shall be last, the last shall be first, and that when you see things through our lenses, through our eyes, things are impossible. But when we see things through God's eyes, everything becomes possible. And then Jesus proceeds to tell them this parable. And this parable is unique. It's only in Matthew. So a lot of the other parables are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But this particular one is only in Matthew. He's given us this idea about how it is that God wants us to perhaps look at the world. We get a bit self-absorbed at times. We listen to this parable. We listen to it and we most of us can hear ourselves, see ourselves in that parable. We're just like those workers who showed up at 8 o'clock. I'll confess, in my journey to here today, I'm one of those guys who showed up at 5. I showed up at 5. But we're just like those workers who showed up at 8 o'clock in many cases. And it's like, can't you just hear it? I'm a father. I've been a father. I've dispensed out goodies to children in the backseat of the car. And what's often something that you have, if you give one child 2 pieces of candy, one child 3, what do you hear? Not fair. Not fair. You ever heard that? And the early workers are saying to God, not fair. We've been there since the beginning of the day. It's been hard for us. We built this wonderful sanctuary here. We carved this Methodist life out on 985 East, 106 South. We've done all the good things we need to do. We've even sung in the choir. Come on, guys. And we've done all the things that we need to do. And Jesus sits there and says, you know, you need to rethink something here. You need to rethink it just a little bit. And he tells this parable. Now, a lot of times we sort of look down our nose at the King James Version of the Bible. But in this particular setting, this particular telling of this narrative, Cheryl read from the New Revised Standard Version, but in this one, the King James Version gets it actually closer to what the Greek is all about. Greek, and Jesus' question back to the disciples, Jesus' question in the form of the landowner's question back to the 8 o'clock people, is that he asked them, do you have an ophthalmos poneros? Ophthalmos eye, poneros evil. Do you have an evil eye? And that has caused you to look at this situation with the wrong understanding. Now, the evil eye is a term that you may have heard some the medieval period, and you may have some idea of what you think it means, but for Jesus as a rabbi, the Jewish understanding of the evil eye is that when you're looking at something with your own human condition, you're looking at it with your understanding of what the world really is, with your ideas of where the world should be so ordered, not taking joy in an enemy's, in someone you don't like's success, that kind of thing. It's just this opportunity. And Jesus has set us up a little bit with that. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us on the Sermon on the Mount, he will say to us at Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. What a wonderful idea, being full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And what Jesus is basically saying in the form of the landowner back to the early workers is, you're looking at this from an unhealthy way. If you're looking at this with the idea of the way my grace is extended, based upon how long somebody worked in the vineyard, you don't get it. You don't understand what I'm all about. This passage, this long extended passage that this is the illustration of Jesus' sermon, is the fact that the world as we understand it is flipped upside down. And God's understanding is different than our understanding. We look at something like this and say, impossible. And God says, possible. We look at something like this and say, no. And God says, yes. I'm proud to be a pastor of a church where the Boy Scouts of America will honor kids with autism and welcome them within that troop. and they can become Eagle Scouts. I'm proud to be a pastor of a church where young men with hearing problems can work their way up to Eagle Scout. I'm proud to be the pastor of a church where a young girl with autism, about 5 years old, and we go to a gospel concert, and if you've ever been there when the gospel concert or the gospel choir is singing, and Zimmer lights up the room with her joy over how it is that we connect with her. We could look at that situation and say, impossible. And Zimmer's body says, no, it's very possible. It's very possible. A doctor named Jay Freireich labored at Johns Hopkins in the 1950s, trying to figure out a way to help cure childhood leukemia. In the early 1950s, childhood leukemia was a death sentence. Almost 95% of the children that had it died rather quickly, painfully. But Freireich would not see the impossible. He kept seeing the possible there when others around him kept saying no. He kept finding a way to get to yes. The regimen that we use today to deal with childhood leukemia was set in motion by Dr. J. Freireich. Freireich, it's German, I think. Freireich. Empire. Free empire. God's kingdom is part of that free empire. God, Jesus, sits there and says, the kingdom of God is like. And so often we sit there and go, yeah, the kingdom of God is like, but. Every time we want to say the kingdom of God is like, but, we're saying no to God's yes. Every time we say the kingdom of God is like, but, we're saying impossible to God's possible. I don't know where Bill Brewer would be in today's world. Sometimes we talk about those days and we refer to them as the good old days. And there were elements of that that were the good old days. But the sacrifice of Bill Brewer's life, because we were not bold enough to be able to see the possible of what it is that Bill Brewer could do, is not the good old days. Jesus is sitting there talking to the people, telling them the illustration of his sermon. And we call this parable the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Maybe. You could maybe preach it that way someday. But today, what I really want us to take from this is it's not the parable of the vineyard workers. It's the parable about the extravagant owner. That's what the parable's about. It's about God's grace constantly, repeatedly poured out, offering us a vision of the possible when we keep saying impossible, offering us the possibility to see yes when we keep saying no, and inviting us to know that God's world, God's vision, the Jesus project can pick us up wherever we are in our journey. Those of you that signed on when you were 6 or 7, great. Those of you that signed on when you were 12, great. Those of you that signed on at 42, great. I baptized, one of the last baptisms I did at Stratmore Hills in Colorado Springs before I came here was a 72-year-old woman. Never been baptized. Jesus, in this parable, is saying, my grace is extended to her just as it's extended to those who showed up at 8 o'clock. We may want God's grace to be like our understanding, But God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit say to us, you're thinking only about the impossible. And through me, through God, through the Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, all things are truly possible. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, may we be a people that constantly see your possibilities, your yes, when we creep up and say, that's impossible, or no, or but. Remind us that we're shortchanging your gospel in this world. And all of God's children say, amen. Please stand as you are able.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.